Part 1. Imperial China. Chapter 1. The Emperor's Grand Plan. On the 2nd of February, 1421, China dwarfed every nation on earth. On that Chinese New Year's Day, kings and envoys from the length and breadth of Asia, Arabia, Africa, and the Indian Ocean assembled amid the splendours of Beijing to pay homage to the Emperor Zhu Di, the Son of Heaven. A fleet of Leviathan ships navigating the oceans with pinpoint accuracy had brought the rulers and their envoys to pay tribute to the Emperor and bear witness to the inauguration of his majestic and mysterious walled capital, the Forbidden City. No fewer than 28 heads of state were present, but the Holy Roman Emperor, the Emperor of Byzantium, the Doge of Venice, and the kings of England, France, Castile, and Portugal were not among them. They had not been invited, for such backward states, lacking trade goods or any worthwhile scientific knowledge, ranked low on the Chinese emperor's scale of priorities. Zhu Di was the fourth son of Zhu Yuanzhang, who had risen to become the first Ming emperor despite his lowly birth as the son of a hired labourer from one of the poorest parts of China. In 1352, 8 years before Zhu Di's birth, a terrible flood had struck parts of China. The Yellow River had burst its banks, submerging vast areas of farmland, washing away villages, and leaving famine and disease in its wake. The country was still in the throes of a terrible epidemic. The Mongols had ruled China since its conquest in 1279 by the great Kublai Khan, grandson of the greatest warlord of them all, Genghis Khan. But in 1352, plagued by famine and disease and desperately poor as a result of the depredations of their Mongol overlords, the peasants around Guangzhou on the Pearl River Delta rose in revolt. Zhu Yuanzhang joined the rebels and rapidly emerged as their leader, rallying soldiers and farmers to his cause. During the next 3 years, the revolt spread throughout China. Over decades of peace, the once ferocious Mongol warriors, the scourge of all Asia, had grown idle and complacent. Riven by internal dissension, they proved no match for the army raised by Zhu Di's father. In 1356, his forces captured Nanjing and cut off corn supplies to the Mongols' northern capital, Dadu, Beijing. Zhu Di was 8 years old when his father's army entered Dadu itself in 1368. The last Mongol emperor of China, Togon Tomor, fled the country, retreating north to the steppe, the Mongol heartland. Zhu Yuanzhang pronounced a new dynasty, the Ming, and proclaimed himself the first emperor, taking the dynastic title Hongwu. Zhu Di joined the Chinese cavalry and proved himself a brave and skillful officer. At the age of 21, he was sent to join the campaign against the Mongol forces, still occupying the mountainous southwestern province of Yunnan, bordering modern Tibet and Laos. And in 1382 he was ordered to destroy Kunming, to the south of the Cloud Mountains, the remaining Mongol stronghold in the province. After the city was taken, the Chinese butchered the adult defenders and castrated those prisoners who had not reached puberty. Thousands of young Mongol boys had their penises and testicles severed. Many perished of shock and disease. The surviving eunuchs were conscripted into the imperial armies, or kept as servants or retainers. Eunuchs served as palace menials, harem watchdogs and spies for rulers throughout the ancient world, in Rome, Greece, North Africa and much of Asia, and they had played an important role throughout Chinese history. Surprisingly, they were intensely loyal to the emperors who had authorized their mutilation. There had been eunuchs at the imperial court since at least the 8th century BC, and as many as 70,000 were employed in and around the capital. Only sexless males were permitted to act as personal servants to the emperor and to guard the women of his family and the quarters occupied by his concubines in the Great Within, inside the palace doors. Emperors retained thousands of concubines, both as a symbol of their power and to ensure a number of male heirs at a time of high infant mortality, guaranteeing the continuity of the dynasty and the worship of ancestors was a vital part of Chinese cultural rites. Non-eunuchs, even relatives of the emperor and his consorts, were barred from the vicinity of the women's quarters on pain of death. The absence of potent males ensured that any children born to the concubines had been sired by the emperor alone.